Robert had a passion for learning. He read nearly all 500 books in the Frewsburg Library and found himself debating the issues of the day with anyone who would listen.
Robert Jackson grew up in the rural town of Frewsburg, New York, in Chautauqua County. Gregory Peterson co-founded the Jackson Center. He's an attorney at the Jamestown offices of Phillips Lytle. Peterson is an expert on Jackson. The center carries out his legacy.
Robert H. Jackson, from a quick biographical viewpoint, is an answer to a Jeopardy question recently, named the only person in the history of the United States to be a Solicitor General, an Attorney General, and a Justice of the Supreme Court. And in addition to that, he was the Chief American Prosecutor at the Nuremberg Trials.
On November 21st, 1945, Robert Jackson was at the height of his prestige. The world watched as he started the most famous trial in history. A trial that would bring high-ranking Nazi leaders to justice.
The wrongs which we seek to condemn and punish have been so calculated, so malignant, and so devastating that civilization cannot tolerate their being ignored.
He's a gentleman who was born a farmer just over the border in Pennsylvania, was raised in Western New York, practiced in Western New York, and accomplished all that I just said without having gone to college and without having graduated from law school. That is the quick bio.
Never before in legal history has an effort been made to bring within the scope of a single litigation the developments of a decade, covering a whole continent, involving a score of nations, countless individuals, and innumerable events.
Such a significance in his career to be a part of that historic moment in time.
The opening statement of Justice Robert Jackson, which was delivered November 21st, 1945, starts off with this quote, that four great nations, flushed with victory and stung with injury,
stay the hand of vengeance, and voluntarily
submit their captive enemies to the judgment of the law is one of the most significant tributes that power has ever paid to reason. This was penned by Justice Jackson. It's the opening sentence of the opening statement given by him at the Nuremberg trial virtually 70 years ago, and that one sentence talks about the importance of the rule of law, because at the end of the war, World War II, the Allies, most of them, the Russians and the Great Britain specifically, just wanted to eliminate, exterminate, execute the top Nazi officials and be done with it. And it was really through Justice Jackson that there was a sense that there needs to be a trial, there needs to be presenting of evidence, because in the long run, vengeance is something which cannot be tolerated. It's not part of the rule of law. And 70 years later, it's that trial and the after effects of that trial, which in fact have become the hallmark for the rule of law. International Criminal Court, trials in Rwanda, Cambodia, Sierra Leone, all of those tribunals have directly linked to Nuremberg and Justice Jackson.
You must plead guilty or not guilty. Bekenne mich im Sinne der Anklage nicht schuldig.
How did someone have such a great legal mind who did not go to law school? And as a lawyer, how have you been inspired by his work?
It's a great role model for all students. Here's an individual who, again, grew up on a farm, grew up in Frewsburg, New York. He was the valedictorian of Frewsburg High School, all of seven people. But what he did is, on his own self-initiative, went to what we now refer to as the 13th year at Jamestown High School, and took it upon himself to read, to learn how to forensics, to articulate, and to self-motivate. Then he went on to read for the law with his mother's uncle, never went to college, bypassed it completely, and then went to 1 year at Albany Law School, never graduated from there, and then took the bar exam and passed it. But he was self-motivated. Insofar as any individual has an opportunity to take it upon themselves to take that initiative is something which is an amazing example, but anybody can do it. Anybody can do it. In this case, he was motivated internally but externally by a specific teacher. The role of teachers in the development of individuals to get that inner energy level is something which Jackson is one of those role models.
Was there anything new that you learned that you didn't know being an expert on him? Was there something that came out that perhaps they vetted out for the PBS?
You bet. You're going to find some interesting pieces dealing with relationship with J. Edgar Hoover, FBI, President Roosevelt. And I watched it for the first time. I said, I never knew that. That's the beauty of Justice Jackson. There was not a lot of misinformation out there, as there's been now a lot of new information. Every day, something new and exciting about Robert Jackson's life appears. The Jackson Center's goal is to gather it and to be able to make it user-friendly for the public at large. And we hope this particular movie will, in fact, enhance and advance that particular knowledge base.
What else will Americans learn?
I think what's remarkable is Robert Jackson died in 1954.
On the first day of the October term, Robert Jackson took his place on the bench. 5 days later, he had a fatal heart attack in the home of his secretary and longtime friend, Elsie Douglas.
His actions while alive are relevant today in not only the international criminal law, which you find in the form of the various military tribunals, which are being held at the International Criminal Court, the Rwanda Court, the Yugoslavia Court, Cambodia, Sierra Leone, Lebanon. And just as an aside, annually at Chautauqua Institution, all of the chief prosecutors of all the current international tribunals gather together in the name of Robert H. Jackson to discuss current issues dealing with the rule of law, knowing that the initial trial with the architect was Robert Jackson. And that's a piece of the puzzle. In addition, aside from the international law, is the domestic law. So we have issues which are confronting the Supreme Court today, such as executive powers. And the case of Jackson, Youngstown steel seizure case, his opinion is the gold standard, which is adopted today. We have issues regarding civil rights. Jackson was intimately involved in Brown versus Board of Education. We have a case, which will be again discussed in the movie, called West Virginia versus Barnett, dealing with the flag salute and civil liberties. A case which most recently by a scholar, a constitutional law scholar at Harvard Law School, indicated was probably the most prominent, famous Supreme Court case of all time. That's heavy duty. And who wrote the opinion? Robert Jackson, a guy from Western New York who never went to college, never graduated from law school, and he rose to the level of where his opinion in this, by this particular constitutional law professor, is deemed the foremost of all time. That's an amazing story. And here's a guy that practiced law here in Buffalo, New York.
Does the center continue to work to educate the younger generations so that that legacy spreads throughout the elementary and high school levels?
The answer is yes. Most recently, we are hosting over 100 teachers at the Robert Jackson Center in Jamestown, people from Erie County, Cattaraugus County, Chautauqua County, Warren County, Pennsylvania, all of which have come there to learn about Jackson and his relevance today, to learn various core curriculum activities which can be impacted. One of the things I'm very proud to say is within the last year, the New York State Regents has adopted the core curriculum for history, and that they are now required in New York State to teach Robert Jackson and his writings at the Nuremberg trial, of which I just quoted the first sentence of the opening statement, which is a remarkable opportunity because now it's written in stone and every individual at a certain grade level in New York State will be studying Robert Jackson, who's a Western New York person, who's a person whose name adorns our federal courthouse here in Buffalo.
The nation had experienced tremendous change during Robert Jackson's 62 years. His life was shaped by some of the most important moments in history.
Well, Gregory Peterson, co-founder of the Jackson Center, thank you so much.
Thank you for inviting us.
But it was Jackson's remarkable talents as a thinker and writer, his ability to frame a subject so that listeners could explore a problem in a new way, that turned the spotlight on the important issues of his day.